Franklin Russell. I am at the Sonoma Valley Community Health Center in Sonoma, California. I'm here with CEO of the organization, Cheryl Johnson. We're talking about her work here with the organization and the impact of the recent Bay Fires on her organization and the community around her. So to kick things off, Cheryl, I know I introduced you, but could you just introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, my name is Cheryl Johnson. I'm CEO of Sonoma Valley Community Health Center.
Thank you, Cheryl. So, Cheryl, I'd love to just start off learning a little bit more about you. Where are you from originally?
I am from Oakland, California, and lived in Oakland, California, and when I was a kid, moved to El Cerrito, and I now live in Vallejo, California. So I am a Bay Area native.
So how'd you come up to Sonoma?
You know, interestingly enough, I was working at another community health center in Richland, San Pablo area, and had left that job, and I was sitting at home, and our IT vendor who used to work for me worked here and said, they need someone to be there as an interim. Will you do it? And I said, sure, and 6 years later, I'm still here.
Wow, so what did you come on board initially? Was it CEO initially to help, or how did you get involved with the organization?
So I came on as an interim CEO. At that particular time, the organization had a couple of major projects. One was the implementation of electronic health records, and the second one was the building of a new building. And they wanted someone who had that level of experience, which I did, and they asked me to stay on in order to see those two projects kind of take off and kind of grow. And so that's what we did. And today you're sitting in our new building that's actually 4 years old. So
it's really nice for the folks who can't be here. It's a nice facility. I've just got a tour of the place. Got to see your offices for the dentist, your medical offices. It's really an impressive spot. So I'm curious, now that you've been here 6 years, you've really got to know the organization. You've obviously shaped it, molded it, created a new center mm-hmm. people use on a daily basis. How would you describe Sonoma Valley Community Health Center and the work that it does?
Well, you know, one of the things I guess I would say is it's ever changing. So what we try to do is we try to meet the needs of our community. And, you know, obviously we're about healthcare. We have dental, we have medical, we do OB. But health is so much more than going and seeing a doctor. It's about whether or not you have a job, whether or not you have education, whether or not you have a place to live, whether you have access to healthy foods and vegetables. So, you know, in the beginning, when we were trying to get everything in a place, we were kind of more of an introverted organization. And now we're tending to be a little bit more extroverted. So, you know, one of the things that we are doing right now is we are looking at an opportunity to train medical assistants. So we know that in Sonoma Valley, a lot of the high school students aren't going to go to college. A lot of them are going to be impacted by money and are looking to have a job that has the potential of being a career. So one of the things we are looking at right now is, how do we bring a medical assisting program to Sonoma Valley and have it accessible to the residents here and make sure that we're removing obstacles so that they can complete the program? So that's actually one of the bigger things that we're looking at now, which is, again, we're in a community. How do we make that community healthy? And again, it's not always about going to the doctor. So, you know, a lot of the things that we do are being identified by the patients who come here and saying, you know, this is what we feel that we need. And then we go out and do our investigation, see if it's feasible. And then we go out and we try and do it. So that's the thing we're working on right now.
So if you could give me a little more details, what currently with some of those patients and those programs, how are you reaching out to youth and engaging those folks and helping them think about their future?
Well, you know, part of it is the fact that, you know, and I think in all schools in California, you have to do a senior project. And so we are very amenable to having students come in and to shadow our providers, shadow our medical assistants, shadow our RNs, and to kind of explore whether or not healthcare is for them. The other thing we do is we do have AmeriCorps volunteers. A lot of them are on the cusp of, you know, they've graduated from their undergraduate, and they're not really sure whether or not they want to pursue a medical career. And so we have them come in for 9 months and to work in this environment. They usually have to do a project that's health-related. And then based on that, they make a determination as to whether or not they want to move forward in the health career. So far, you know, most of the AmeriCorps students that have come here are actually now in medical school, and we're really proud of that. And we're hoping they'll actually come back and work for us and kind of complete that circle. And then the other thing that we try to do is we try to open up to people who need externships. And so we do a lot of externships for medical assisting, for phlebotomy. We do nurse practitioner externships. And all of this is about doing exploring. So the one thing about healthcare is that if you come in as a medical assistant, that is just the beginning of a career, and then you have doors that are open to you. And that's what we're looking for is, you know, if you want to be a medical assistant for the rest of your life, that's great. But if you want to be an RN, a physician assistant, a nurse practitioner, then this gets you in that door, and then you have the opportunity to make it what you want. So we're really excited about trying to engage younger people. We're really looking at community-based, and a lot of it is about empathy, compassion, and really making sure that your patients are okay, and that is beyond these four walls. So it's about making phone calls, it's about making connections, and that's really important in a small town where sometimes you don't have the typical connections that you may have in a kind of a more urban setting. So that's what we're really going for right now.
So empathy, I can imagine how important that is, especially to your point, in a small town, especially when you have a traumatic event like the fires that we had recently. Could you talk about how the fires impact this community, this organization, and your work here?
Sure. So, you know, it seems like a lifetime ago. It's only 7 months ago. You know, I think the biggest thing that we saw is the fact that here in this community, we're incredibly lucky. We had some people who were impacted with, you know, loss of homes, but for the most part, it was a lot more about living quite literally in fear that the fires would come over the hill. At one particular point, there's only really four ways into Sonoma Valley, and on the Monday after the fire started, three of those ways were blocked. We made a decision that we weren't going to bring people in if we couldn't get them out. Because I would say about 60% of our staff actually don't live in Sonoma Valley because the cost of living here is so expensive. And so, you know, we were coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning. We were touring the town. And then we would make text message chains to all of our employees, come into work. Come into work at this time. You're going to leave at this time. On some days, on a Thursday, we actually were told we had to leave because the smoke was incredibly bad. On the Tuesday, I drove in. The smoke was so bad, it looked like it was dusk, but it was 6 a.m. And it looked like it was fog, but it was smoke. And it was just a very kind of eerie feeling. The things that you take for granted, you can no longer take for granted. There were no deliveries. So when we brought staff in, we were feeding staff, we were feeding patients, we were, a lot of patients were using their cell phones and their iPads and everything for communications, but there was no electricity, so we would let them, you know, come in and kind of energize their phones and things like that. And sometimes they were just coming in because of the fact that they had been watching the path of the fire and they weren't getting any sleep. So they were coming in here and sleeping, knowing that we would let them know if they needed to evacuate, and they felt that they could not be so vigilant and actually, you know, close their eyes and get some sleep. But in terms of the food and things like that, you know, the shelves were getting barer because there were no deliveries. And so when we were feeding people, we would have to go to Petaluma and go pick stuff up in Petaluma and bring it back here. And a lot of people left because they were evacuating, and some of them left because they couldn't live with the anxiety or the stress of what may happen. And so they left and went to places. Some people didn't come back. We have patients who are in dialysis. In Sonoma Valley, we're actually on the border of Napa County and Sonoma County. So we send some of our patients actually over to Napa County for services, and dialysis is being one of them. We actually send them to Napa County for dialysis. And we couldn't get them to dialysis because we had to use paratransit, because a lot of our volunteers who were taking the patients to dialysis fled and evacuated. So we called paratransit, and paratransit said, well, that would require us to go over a county line, so we won't take them. So then we had to make other arrangements for our patients to be seen for dialysis, because their kidneys didn't care that there was a wildfire going on. They needed to have their dialysis. So we actually worked really closely with a lot of great agencies to make sure that our patients were able to continue with their medical treatments in regards to that. Some people came back after the wildfires, a lot of people did not. And so afterwards, we had to really formalize a lot of our arrangements to make sure that our patients who needed specialty care are in Sonoma County, because our drivers didn't come back. And so that was one of the impactful things. After the fires were resolved in this area, the stress was still there. The first day, the Monday, after the fires were, quote unquote, out in this area, we were open for business, and we had a little boy come in, and he just threw up all over the waiting room, and we couldn't figure out what the physical ailment was, and realized that he was just stressed out, and a fire engine with its siren blast blaring had gone by. He had heard it. I was throwing up. We had other people who, during the fire, we had electricity. After the fire, we kept losing it. And one time we actually lost electricity, and we had another person who had a very violent reaction to us not having electricity. So, you know, one of the things that we were concerned about is the fact that people were going out and talking to friends and relatives who weren't in the area about their experiences with the fire. And the response that they were getting was, you didn't lose anything. What is your problem? And the long and the short of it is that they may not have lost a home. They may not have lost family valuables or anything like that, but they still were impacted by the fire. Their stories still needed to be told and honored. So we actually made an arrangement with UCSF to bring in some of their behavioral health volunteers to come in and see patients who wanted kind of a safe space to be able to tell their stories and to be heard and not kind of have their experience kind of marginalized. And this worked out relatively well because, you know, our biggest concern was that with most things in life, when you're having a trauma, you either deal with it now or you will deal with it later. And if you deal with it now, you have a little bit more control than dealing with it later when it kind of manifests itself without, you know, awareness, without giving you kind of a heads up that it's going to kind of come out in the open. So we've been really very much interested in making sure that people have a forum to be heard. And the thing that we heard from our patients was, now that the event is over, they want to be prepared, because a lot of people didn't realize that they were going to be on their own for 72 to 96 hours. So what we're doing through a variety of agencies and through Tipping Point and through Congressman Thompson's office is we're having a huge emergency preparedness fair on May 19th to get people to be prepared and to try and figure out what the next steps are going to be. Our concern, if you look at the people who died during the fire, were that they were disabled and they were elderly. And a lot of that is, you know, again, are they connected to their communities? Is someone keeping an eye on them? So we're also looking at kind of arrangements and collaborations with some of our partners like Vintage House, which their clientele is mostly the older population, and with the Boys and Girls Club, whose population tends to be, you know, high school students and below, and saying, can we make this connection whereby we're having the older population mentor the younger population, which will create that connectedness and, again, another set of eyes on the older population and make sure that they're safe during emergencies. So we're trying to, you know, figure things out as we go. We're really trying to look at what happened, what went right, what went wrong, and how we can create an environment whereby when this happens again, because it's not an if, but a when, we're prepared to handle it. So we're doing a lot in regards to that. We have reminders as we drive through that, again, Sonoma Valley was incredibly lucky, and we don't want to take that for granted, and we want to be prepared for the next time. So.
Wow, thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that. That is amazing how much work the team did. I can't even imagine how difficult that must have been being here while that was happening and knowing that the fires were closing in, yet you and your team, a lot of your team were still here. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that impacted you and the workers here, knowing that you were helping patients, but you also were running out of time yourselves to get out?
You know, I think for a lot of us who go into this business, we know that it's something that we have to do. And, you know, it was funny because my husband says, you know, interesting person, because we had people who were running toward away from the fire, and we were running towards the fire. And, you know, we're not first responders. We're not unnecessarily brave. And I told him, I said, well, you know, we're running towards it because the people there need help. Again, we always made sure that we were safe. But, you know, it was very interesting because in Sonoma Valley itself, because we were impacted but not as impacted as Santa Rosa or Napa, we were getting very little information. So a lot of the information we were getting was hearsay or through social media. And so, you know, we had a lot of instances where people were basically saying, you know, we have to get out, we have to get out, because the fire actually looked like it was closer than what it was, because of the way the valley kind of curves on itself. And so there are times when we actually said, okay, it's not that close, let me take you around so you can make sure that you're safe, that you're okay. And once people figured that out, then I realized that we were paying attention, that we knew what the situation was, then they were able to kind of focus on providing care for the patients who were coming through. I think, and you know, in some regards, it was really kind of interesting because on the one day that we actually had to evacuate, because of the fact that we were taking our clients and our patients on these tours of the valley, that they knew the back way entrance to get out. So they weren't stuck in the traffic jam that lasted 6 hours because we had shown them inadvertently the other way to get out of the valley. And so a lot of them used that route and were in their destinations maybe in an hour, 2 hours, as versus spending 6 hours in the backup that happened to get out. So, you know, some of it actually was, you know, wasn't planned. You know, you can't plan for this, but it just happened to work out okay. So, you know, again, the one thing that we did was we made sure that everybody was fed. There are people who came in. We had a couple of providers and staff members who didn't lose their homes, but their homes were very close to the fire area. And, you know, we told one of our providers, you just need to go home because we'll take care of it here. And we made sure that they had water, they had food, because we knew they weren't going to have electricity and probably not running water. And we told them, you know, just to make sure that they let us know that they were okay. But in that particular instance, the best thing that she could do for us was to make sure that she was addressing her own needs and the needs of her family. And that's the conversations that we had. So for us, those people who lived here, we actually didn't have them come to work. We told them to focus in on their families and to evacuate. The people who didn't live in the area were the people who came in and made sure that the clinic was open and was able to see patients. And then our board was very generous in the fact that they basically said, you know, yeah, you know, the revenue was down, you didn't work, but we're going to pay everybody their regular schedules. And so then those people who incurred expenses by evacuating out didn't have to worry about how they were going to pay for that because the board took care of them. So, you know, again, it was a very interesting experience, and we told people, you know, if you're afraid to come in, don't. And you know, people heard us and basically made decisions on their own that the best that they could do for us to help us was not to come in, because then we would have to focus on them and not on the patients that we were serving. So, you know, it was a learning experience. It was actually kind of a bonding experience, to be honest. And I think we became closer because of the fact that we literally went through fire, you know, and we came out on the other side, and we were okay, and felt like we had made a contribution. And again, it was that learning experience about, okay, this is what happened. What did we do? What can we do better? Can we start making arrangements now? And that's what we're working on, is making those arrangements now based on what we learned. So I don't recommend that people figure that out this way, but we're really trying to make something positive happen after an experience that was pretty impactful.
Incredibly courageous on your behalf and the rest of the team to stay. I know that must have been scary, and I know the community really appreciates it. I'm curious, how has the community responded after the event? How have they been involved with the organization? How have your patients treated the experience? How have things changed since the fire from the community's perspective?
You know, I think in general, like I said, a lot of people are basically saying that we really need to be able to be self-reliant. We really need to be able to not pray that this isn't going to occur and kind of turn a blind eye to it. I think that has been kind of the biggest change. Obviously, there's some things that might have been a little bit stickier before that are now being passed, and one of those things is affordable housing. So they had an affordable housing project that pre-fire wasn't necessarily getting the expedited approval. And then after the fire, they decided to go ahead and approve it. They have some instances where a development pre-fire looked like it was going to be a go, and post-fire, they're like, well, you know, we need to wait a minute and think about how we're going to defend these developments if another fire occurs. So I think we're being a little bit more thoughtful about kind of the city planning process a little bit. Really looking at, you know, because for this particular area, the other thing that we're seeing is with the, you know, 5,800 buildings that are lost in Santa Rosa, it's really driving up our home prices here. And so we're really looking at the fact that if we drive up the home prices here, then we're really going to have more people leave the area to go to areas that are more cost effective. And if we do that, then, you know, we're going to be dealing with more cars, we're going to be dealing with more parking situations, which we already have in Sonoma Valley. And so if we don't want this, then we have to start addressing some issues that we thought we had time or we didn't want to address or whatever. So I think we're being a lot more thoughtful about that. And I think we're being a little bit more kinder. But I think the real realization that we have right now is the fact that it's a small town. You expect a certain level of connectedness, but it's not necessarily fair in the way that we want to see. And how do we address the connectedness? So, you know, the one thing I can tell you is that we are having more people act out. And I think that has to do, again, with the lack of connectedness, a little bit of the residual impact of the stress of being in a natural disaster. And, you know, we're trying to address that through increasing behavioral health services. And that's going to be a real challenge because, again, it's another area where we have limited resources because there is a shortage of behavioral health professionals. So we're trying to do the best that we can, you know, but it's, you know, sometimes reality comes into view. But instead of trying to say there's an obstacle in the way, we're trying to be creative and trying to kind of circumvent that obstacle to get things into place. And so a lot more creativity.
So thinking about the future then for this organization, you mentioned a combination of providing healthcare services and also education to help perform preventative type services, whether it might be with preparing your home for a fire disaster or things like that. Mm-hmm. How do you think the Sonoma Community Center, Health Valley Center, will evolve over time? Will it split into those two pillars? Will there be a third? How else do you think this community organization is going to change moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, for me, looking at all of this is the fact that there, you know, there's definitely more community needs that need to be met. And some of those community needs are going to require a skill set that we don't have, we're not going to learn. And that means that in order to meet those needs, we're going to be doing more collaborations with other agencies who have those skill sets and have them come in and provide services here. It's something we were doing previously, and, you know, in light of everything that's happened, it's something that we're going to absolutely have to do more of. And so, you know, part of it is going to be about looking at the behavioral health needs in Sonoma Valley. Some of them are going to be related to fire, some of them are not going to be related to fire, and how do we meet all of those needs? And there's a lot of needs going across the age range, and so we have to be able to do that. Again, we're talking about education, not only about wildfire or disaster preparedness, but about, you know, what are you going to do for work? How are you going to make your money? How does that help you in the future? And so we're going to be definitely looking at that. And then we're going to be definitely looking at how do we bring the community together just to do simple things and enjoyment. Sonoma Valley has a wonderful July 4th celebration with fireworks and parades. This Sunday, they're going to have a magnificent Cinco de Mayo event. They have some other events, but sometimes the events can be kind of segmented. And what we're looking at is trying to bring the community together as a whole and trying to enjoy the community as a whole and realizing that, you know, together there's not too much we can't do. There's a movement called Resilient Sonoma that's really looking towards that. And there's a movement called Sustainable Sonoma that's looking towards that. So a lot of that's going to be working with these groups to make sure that together we're meeting the objectives, which is, again, being resilient, being sustainable.
So much to tackle and so little time. Well, I'm curious, what gets you inspired in the morning to get up and come and keep doing this day in and day out?
Well, you know, part of it is the fact that it's never dull by a long shot. My days are never the same. At my level, I very rarely deal with healthcare. You know, I love healthcare. I think it's really important. It's something that we all have in common as a common need. But it's about politics, it's about real estate, it's about education, it's about, you know, right now it's about data collection, it's about advocacy in terms of not only for the health center but for immigrants, immigrant rights. We're doing a lot of that right now. It's never dull. It's never dull. And then, you know, when I first started here, I had two patients who made a real impact on me. The first patient said, you know, I'm tired of calling here. You're telling me no. You're the clinic of no. And the second one came up to me and said, you know, I come here because I have to, but I really don't like being here. And my whole thing was, I took that and said, let me look at the possibilities of sitting there and making a change here, a cultural change here, and having people who bought into that theory with me and said, you know, let's work on it and let's get this moving here. And over the course of the years, it hasn't been easy. It's been a lot of hard work, but we started to make that shift, whereby the person who said, I'm come here because I have to, came up to me last year and said, I'm so proud of being here now. You're doing so much. I feel like this is my medical home. And this is someone, every time I see her, I was like, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. So last year when she came and she said that, it was like, okay, we are making a difference. And so, you know, my father was really disappointed that I went into the service industry, because he's like, you know, I didn't put you through college to sit there and do social work. I put you in college to be in a corporation making a lot of money and doing X, Y, and Z. But that has never really ever felt right to me. And so to be able to know that you're going in there and you're making a difference for someone, and that the difference is appreciated, and that you're working with people who also want to feel like they're making a difference and to have that work appreciated, is really why most of us are here. This, you know, obviously we get paid for doing this, but it's the satisfaction of knowing that what you're doing has impact and meaning, and that it will probably, that filling will last with that patient far longer than you will be in that patient's life. It's the kind of the ultimate high, and that's the reason why I come in every day and do what we do, and I think that's the reason why most of us are here.
And you're touching thousands of lives on a daily basis. I mean, I feel inspired, and I can't help wondering, now that you've been here for 6 years and you've really become a part of this community and made such an impact, what does the community of Sonoma Valley mean to you, and how has that changed over the years?
Well, you know, it's very interesting how, you know, Sonoma Valley is a very interesting place. It's a very giving place, and you know, the best thing I can say is to take a look at this building here. There were a lot of people who came together and who made this happen. And it was a generosity of wallet, a generosity of spirit, just a level of support of saying, you know, we will get this done, that I think is the epitome of this building. We, through the Affordable Care Act, we got $5 million for this building, but we couldn't spend the $5 million on the land, and the land cost us another $5.4 million. And people just came out and said, you know, we're going to make this happen. We had people who had contacts with the previous owner who made that owner who didn't want to sell. And it was all of this concerted effort to sit there and get this goal done that I think is ultimately the spirit of Sonoma. And during the course of that, it's, you know, if people are seeing that you're willing to make a change, if you're listening to them, if you are really trying to show them that they have influence, which a lot of our clients don't necessarily feel that they have that level of influence, and for them to see that they do have that level of influence and that it's manifesting in good outcomes, then they will be there with you. They will be there with you, and they are your biggest supporters. They're also sometimes your biggest detractors. But they are there, and they will fight with you. And I've always felt very supported in that way, and that continues. That really, really continues. And I just enjoy that relationship that we've built, and hopefully will continue, and again, continue to provide some other things. By the way, I guess I should also state that, you know, there are also health services that we're bringing in here as well. We do that too. So, you know, our next biggest venture is actually going to be optometry, because in Sonoma Valley, there's no ability for people who are uninsured or have Medi-Cal to get eye care services in the Valley. So that is our 2019 goal, is to get optometry services set up. So, you know, and again, that is because people have come up to us and said, we really need this. Can you do this? And the answer was, yeah, we'll take a look into it. It may not be tomorrow, but we'll get it done. And so that's what we're doing. And, you know, I know that we have people here who will make sure that once we say that this is what we want to do, that they'll come and support us to make sure it gets done.
So how can community members who want to get involved and help, how can they make a difference here at the Sonoma Valley Community Health Center?
It's a great question. You know, obviously donating is a great thing, but we are very unique in that all of our board members have to either live or work in Sonoma Valley. And the one thing that we have, it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of complicated work, a lot of rules and regulations. And what we always need is we need board members who are willing to act as in that capacity. We have patient advisory groups that, again, help direct the work that we're doing and make sure we're on the path of what the community wants. We always need members for that. And, you know, just to come out and support us in some of the events that we do. So, like I said, on May 19th, this is Emergency Preparedness Fair. It'll be at the local elementary school, Sassarini. In August, we'll be doing our back-to-school health fair, because the one thing about back-to-school is that it is, in my experience, is a really exciting time to go back to school after summer. But it's also, for the parents, a really expensive time. And so we started this in the hopes of, you know, giving backpacks and school supplies so that the parents be able to take that money that they would spend on those things and be able to use it in other areas that they need it in their life. So, you know, support for, in terms of school supplies and just attending. When we first started, we had, you know, maybe 50 people. Last year we did that. We had over 500 people. And this year, a lot of agencies are coming together, and we think we'll probably be serving for more than 500 people this year. So we're really excited about that. But those are, you know, some really meaningful ways that you can help the health center help the community.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, so much for sharing your story today. Really appreciate it. Any final thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with?
No, you know, I was actually watching, I was watching Good Morning America this morning, and they gave $10,000 to a gentleman who was helping the homeless, and they asked him why he was doing it, and he said, because there's no bigger reward than volunteering. And I think that is the message that I would like to leave with people, is the fact that, you know, volunteerism is a very significant, very impactful way of making a difference in your community.
Thank you, Cheryl. Couldn't agree more. Again, I'm here with Cheryl Johnson, CEO of Sonoma Valley Community Health Center. Thank you again, Cheryl, for sharing your story.
Thank you, Franklin, for making it so easy.